वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वोत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। 41 मैत्रेय उवाच स एवं ब्रह्मपुत्रेण कुमारेणात्ममेधसा दर्शितात्मगतिः सम्यक् प्रशस्योवाच तं नृपः।
द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय कंटिन्यूड बीइंग थस एनलाइटेंड इन कंप्लीट स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज बाय द सन ऑफ ब्रह्मा वन ऑफ द कुमारास हु वाज कंप्लीट इन स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज द किंग वर्शिप देम इन द फॉलोइंग वर्ड्स।
So till the previous verse, Sanat Kumara had given instructions to Prithu Maharaj. So now in this next seven verses, till the 47th verse, Prithu Maharaj expresses his gratitude towards the four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumara. In this verse, Maitreya Rishi is explaining that Sa evam Brahma Putrena, in this way, the sons of Lord Brahma, the Kumaras, Kumaren, Atmamedasa. Atmamedasa is the adjective to describe the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras were very well versed in the Vedic knowledge, Atmamedasa, spiritual knowledge. Darshita, they showed the path of Atmagati. They showed the path of Atmagati. Atmagati samyak. Samyak means they completely showed, that means like they thoroughly showed this path of Atmagati, how to attain self-realization. Then afterwards, prashasya ovacha tamdrupaha. So then the Prithu Maharaj spoke in order to praise the four Kumaras, Prashasya. So the word Atma Medha, it refers to one whose mind is acting in full Krishna consciousness is called Atma Medha. And exactly opposite to that word is actually the word Griha Medhi. So therefore there is a contrast between Atma Medhi, Atma Medha and Griha Medha. Prabhupada is pointing out that point. So Atma Gati means the path of activities by which one can make progress in understanding Krishna. So they showed this path of Atma Gati completely and Prithu Maharaj praised them. So next six verses, 42 to 47, describe how he praised the four Kumaras. Raja Uvacha Krito Menugraha Purvam Harinartanu Kampina Tamapadayitum Brahman Bhagavan Yuya Magata.
When Lord the king said, O Brahmana, O powerful one, formerly Lord Vishnu showed me his causeless mercy, indicating that you would come to my house, and to confirm that blessing, you have all come.
So if you remember in the 4th canto, 20th chapter, Lord Vishnu, when he was instructing Prithu Maharaj, he had mentioned that in the future you will get the association of perfected personalities. You will get the association of the perfected personalities. That means like, so in order to fulfill that prediction, the four Kumaras had come. So this shows that as a result of pleasing the Supreme Lord, a person gets the association of the devotees. Lord Vishnu became very pleased with Prithu Maharaj's cooperation with Indra. And then as he expressed his pleasure with Prithu Maharaj by blessing him that you will get the association of my devotees. That means if a person is having the association of devotees of the Lord, that is an indication that the Lord is already pleased with that person. So Lord Vishnu had actually predicted that, and Prithu Maharaj is actually remembering that prediction of Lord Vishnu. In fact, if you remember, when the four Kumaras had arrived, so at that time, in the 22nd chapter, in the same chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, that time Prithu Maharaj had mentioned that, I do not know, I must have performed some pious activities unknowingly. That is why I have got your association. Actually, the Prithu Maharaj's whole life was filled with devotional service. But because of the humility arising from the discharge of devotional service, he felt that I am not such a great devotee. I must have unknowingly performed some devotional service. So that is why I have got your association. So that time actually he did not because of his humility, he didn't think that, oh, Lord Vishnu had blessed him, then he would get his. So now he is remembering this, and he is mentioning that Lord Vishnu had predicted previously, and you have come to actually fulfill the Lord Vishnu's prediction. So Prabhupada explains that when the Lord predicts something, the devotees actually try to fulfill that prediction, try to fulfill that promise. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that in every town and village, my name will be chanted. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they desire to fulfill this great prediction. And Prabhupada is also following in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And also, Krishna also, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in regards to Krishna, Krishna also expressed his desire through Arjuna. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Declare Arjuna boldly that my devotee never perishes. So the Lord promises and the devotees execute that promise. So here it is explained that Harina Artanu Kampina. Harina Artanu Kampina. That means Artha Anukampina. The Lord is very affectionate towards the distressed people. Yeah, the Lord who is compassionate to the distressed was merciful towards me. And therefore he actually sent you to actually give your association to me. And Prabhupada gives many examples of Krishna's compassion. How he gives the example of Krishna himself. Krishna appeared on this planet out of compassion for the fallen souls. Lord Buddha appeared on this planet out of compassion for the animals who are being killed unnecessarily. And Narsingadev appeared out of compassion towards towards Prahlad Maharaj. So similarly here, Prithu Maharaj is saying that Lord Vishnu showed his compassion towards me, a fallen soul, by actually sending the association of your good self towards me. These are other examples of Hari Nartanu Kampina, which are mentioned in the purport. So sometimes the Lord himself comes in the case of Krishna, Buddha, Narsingadev, and sometimes the Lord sends his devotees or his servants to actually to fulfill his desire to have the fallen souls come back to Godhead. Next verse. Nishpaditascha katsyena Bhagavad birgrinalu bihi Sadhu chishtam hime sarvam Atmana Matmana saha kimdade.
My dear Brahmanas, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty therefore to offer you something, but all I possess are but the remnants of the food taken by the great saintly persons. What shall I give?
So here, Prithu Maharaj is explaining that actually, like what dakshina or what, how can I actually repay your debt? Because whatever I have is nothing but your remnants. So sadhu chishtam hime sarvam. Sadhu uchishtam. Whatever I possess is only the uchishta of the sadhus. So what he means is that after the death of his father, that is Vena, after the death of Vena, the brahmanas, they churned the body of Vena, and then the Prithu Maharaj like took birth, and then the brahmanas gave the kingdom to Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is feeling that actually the descendants of Bhrigu, the sages headed by Bhrigumuni, that the kingdom belongs to them, and they gave, that means all this Brahmana class, so they gave the kingdom to me. So it belongs to them. So therefore, it is simply whatever I possess is simply the remnants of the sages. So therefore, what can I actually give it to you as Guru Dakshina, because I do not actually possess anything. So indirectly, by saying like that, indirectly Prithu Maharaj is offering everything to the four Kumaras. Because when he is saying that whatever I possess is only the remnants of the property of you, Brahmana, so by that indirectly he is offering everything to the Brahma. Whatever he had, he actually is offering everything to the four Kumaras, which is actually made clear in the next verse also. So therefore he felt that since we can see another point, that when Vena was killed by the Brahmanas, then when they saw that the rise of the rogues and thieves, then the Brahmanas, they churned the body of King Vena by chanting the Vedic mantras. And then Prithu Maharaj actually came out. In one class, Radhanath Maharaj explained that we can see from the birth of Prithu Maharaj how an inauspicious situation was turned into an auspicious situation. So by his very birth, Prithu Maharaj is teaching us that if we keep the holy name and the association of the devotees, because the Brahmanas, they chanted the body of King Vena using the Vedic mantras, or we can say the holy names. So similarly, if we keep the holy name and the association of devotees as the main priority in our life, then even an inauspicious situation will be turned into an auspicious situation. Because the Brahmanas, Vena was such an inauspicious person. Vena was present that it was actually inauspicious situation for the whole kingdom. And after the death of King Vena also, rogues and thieves flourished. It was an inauspicious situation. But the Brahmanas, they turned the inauspicious situation into an auspicious situation by chanting the Vedic mantras. Therefore, the lesson is that if we keep the holy name and the association of devotees as the main priority in our life, in all circumstances, then even an inauspicious situation will be turned into an auspicious situation. So therefore, one of the definition of bhakti is that bhakti is the process of turning curses into blessings. Bhakti is the process of turning inauspicious situation into auspicious situation. Another definition of a true Brahmana, a true Brahmana is one who can turn inauspicious, disgraceful situation into an auspicious situation. So here the sages headed by Bhrigu Muni, they turned the inauspicious situation into an auspicious situation by churning the body of King Vena by chanting the Vedic mantras. So Prithu Maharaj is remembering that. He's saying that actually the kingdom belongs to the Brahmanas. Whatever I possess is only the sadhu uchishta. So how can I actually offer the remnants, their remnants to you, because it already belongs to you. And that way he is indirectly offering them to the four Kumaras. So the food which is given by the father to the son after being chewed, that cannot be again offered back by the son to the father. In that way he is saying that whatever I have is the remnants of the Brahmana, so how can I actually offer those remnants again back to you? Next verse. Pranadara Suta Brahman Grihascha Saparichada Rajyam Balam Mahikosha Iti Sarvam Niveditam.
The king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmanas, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and the household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury, are all offered unto you.
So here Prithu Maharaj is saying that I offer everything unto you, my life, possessions, kingdom, treasury, treasury, the houses, furniture, everything I actually offer unto you. So here in this verse, the acharyas are giving some comments. So prana dara. So the word dara, it means wife. But if we take the word as wife, then it would not be appropriate. Because how can we offer? One cannot offer the wife as a charity. So therefore, nowhere it is found that one offers his wife as a charity. So therefore, the acharyas say that in some of the readings, instead of the word dara, the word raya is there. The word raya means basically one's treasury. the word Raya is mentioned. So Raya means wealth. Raya means wealth. So Prana Raya Sutha Brahman. I offer my wealth and life here, the houses, everything unto you as a charity. And he is also mentioning the word Kosha. Rajyam Balam Mahi Kosha. So when he mentioned that I offer my entire kingdom unto you, everything is included in that. Kosha means treasury. So that means even the treasury is also included when he mentioned that I offer my actually kingdom unto you. But still he is separately mentioning the word Kosha. What it refers to is that kings would have a treasury in which they would keep all the tax money. And they would also keep a private treasury. So there is a general treasury and another is a private treasury called as Ratna Bond. So here the word Kosha refers to that private treasury. Something like the politicians, they have their, say, bank accountants, SBI or Bank of Baroda, in which a few lakh rupees may be there. And then their private accountant, Swiss Bank, some hundreds and thousands of crores will be there. So it's like that private account which is unknown to others. Some secret account in which they keep a lot of money. So here, Prithu Maharaj, it is not that he is offering the treasury and then for his private account he has kept it secret for his own this one. No, by the word Kosha, he is mentioning that I am offering even my private treasury, Ratna Banda, also unto you. That means that he is not holding anything back. He is giving everything, offering everything unto the four Kumaras. And then another point is that just in the previous verse, he mentioned that actually whatever I possess is simply the remnants of the Brahmana. So therefore, how can I offer something unto you? That's how he mentioned in the previous verse. So having mentioned that, then how can he say that, well, I offer my kingdom, treasury, everything unto you? So it is like saying that a father, suppose a master, he possesses everything, whatever property he has. But the master, the servant does not possess anything. But the servant he prepares the vegetables and the grains, which are all provided by the master only. But then servant actually prepares them, cooks them nicely, and then he offers it back to the master so that it will be acceptable to the master by making it acceptable. So therefore, when the servant is preparing the foodstuffs and the offering to the master, it does not mean that it belongs to him. It actually belongs to the master only, but he prepares it nicely so that it becomes acceptable to the master. So in that way, Prithu Maharaj is speaking in this particular verse. He is not contradicting what he spoke in the previous verse, in which he mentioned that how can I offer actually something unto you, because whatever I possess is only your remnants. So in that mood, Prithu Maharaj is offering. Another thing we can see, earlier in the 16th chapter, when the professional reciters were actually glorifying Prithu Maharaj, so that time they mentioned that Avyakta Vritmaisha Niguda Karyo Gambira Veda Upagupta Vitta. They mentioned that no one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow and his activities will also be very confidential. And his treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. Upagupta Vitta, Gambira Veda, Upagupta Vitta. His treasury will be unknown to everyone. But in this particular verse, So in that purport, Prabhupada explains that how one should actually keep the treasury actually secretly. Like in Kali Yuga, people try to show off their wealth by showing off their extravagance, how much wealthy they are. They try to show off their wealth. But cultured people, they do not try to show off their wealth. They secretly preserve them. They are not very extravagant in their spending. So Prithu Maharaj, Upagupta Vitta, that means like he actually carefully protected his treasury in such a way that it will be unknown to others. But when it came to giving, there he is so liberal that he is offering everything to the four Kumaras. So usually we find sometimes people, they may keep their money secretly, because we do find people who are very extravagant in showing off their opulence. And we may also find people who follow the right practice of keeping the money secretly. But then although they keep the money secretly, but they are also very meager in terms of giving charity. But here, Prithu Maharaj, he protected the money, he protected the wealth very secretly, but when it came to giving charity, he was not meager. He actually offered everything to the four Kumaras. And one of the principles, there are different types of actually seva aparadhas in the deity worship. So there are 32 types of seva aparadhas which are explained in the Nectar of Devotion. And those seva aparadhas, they are classified into 5 categories. Lack of determination, worshipping the Lord in unclean body, the neglect despite having ability, pride, and one more this one. I forget this one. But anyway, the one of the types of seva aparadha is that neglect despite having ability. That means when a person has the ability to worship the Lord in an opulent manner, if a person is very miserly about it, if he, despite having the ability, if he does not utilize that ability to worship the Lord in an opulent manner, then he is committing the offense of neglect despite having ability. So the same principle can be applied in regards to charity also, that despite having the ability, when a person is very wealthy, despite having the ability, if a person gives only a very meager portion, or if he is very miserly in giving charity, when he's somebody is a karodpati, is just giving some 50 paisa in charity. So then, that is, although he is giving charity, but that is considered an offense. It is neglect despite having ability. So similarly, another exactly opposite to that is that somebody worships the Lord with a great, whatever is, with his best of ability, but although he worships the Lord with the best of ability, but if he maintains a feeling of pride in his mind, that I did so much for the Lord, I bought so much of jewelry for the Lord, that means then that is also considered as an offense. The same principle we can apply in regards to charity also, that somebody doesn't give charity so much despite having the ability. And this thing is that a person does give charity according to his ability, but he is proud of his contribution, that he is very, he wants his name and fame to be properly registered, properly advertised, and he is actually proud of this one, then that is considered an offense. So here we see Prithu Maharaj's quality, that he is not having this attitude of neglect despite having ability. Whatever he had, he is offering everything to the four Kumaras, including his private Ratna Bond treasury. He is not holding anything back. So this shows his profound charitable disposition and profound attitude of gratitude towards the four Kumaras. Next verse. Sainapatyam cha rajyam cha danda netratvam eva cha sarvalokadipatyam cha veda shastra vidarhati.
Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise and the proprietor of the whole planet, Pratu Maharaj offered everything to Kumaras.
So here he says that Veda Shastravit means only the knowers of the Vedic scriptures, only they can be the Sainapatya, head of the army. Rajyam, only they can be the leader of the country. Danda Netratvam, only they can be the punisher. And Sarva Lokadipatyam, and only they can be the ruler of all planets. So he is saying that only a person who is completely educated Veda Shastra with, according to the Vedic scriptures, only they deserve to occupy these positions. Sainapatya, Rajya, Danda Netritvan, Sarva Lokadipatya. So therefore, he says, Pratu Maharaj offered everything to the four Kumaras. So we can see that those who are actually administrators, they are also supposed to be learned in the Vedic scriptures, Veda Shastravit. That's why in the first, very first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Duryodhana is talking about the Maharathis, Dushtadyumno Viratascha Chatyakis Chaparajita, those verses, Maharathis, in the side of the Pandavas. So the Baldev Vidyabhushan, he gives a definition of a Maharathi. Anybody knows the definition of Maharathi? One who can fight with 10,000 charities. Alone, okay. Anything else? Yeah, that's true, but some more thing are there. Maharathi is one who can fight alone with 10,000 archers and remain undefeated, and who is expert in both weapons and scripture. So Maharathi is expert in weapons, that's why he could fight with 10,000 archers, but he should also have expertise in scriptures also. Shastra Praveenascha Maharatha iti smritaha Eko dasha sahasrani yodayed yastu danvinam Shastra Praveena. Shastra Praveena means expert. Expert in both Shastra and Shastra is called as Maharathi. In that sense, the administrators, they are also supposed to be expert in, they should also be supposed to be learned in scripture. So that's why he is saying that because you are very much learned in scripture, Veda Shastra, Veda, therefore only you deserve to be this thing. So we can see that, so here in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is talking about the cooperation between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. So during the monarchical regime, the king should be guided by the Brahmanas. When monarchy ruled throughout the world, the monarch was actually directed by a board of Brahmanas and the saintly persons. So therefore, many times people, when they talk about a monarchical regime, they actually criticize that. So in the modern people, they say that the monarchical regime, because of the monarchical system, the opportunity to become the king it is limited only to the few families. Only those families had a monopoly. And the potential people from other families were suppressed and they were not allowed to grow. So people criticize the monarchical regime in this manner. And they say that in monarchical regime there was no free speech, there were no newspapers to judge neutrality, citizens had no voice, and the king was beyond law. So all these reasons which the modern people give against the monarchical regime, it sounds reasonable. Oh, it is only the few people from particular family they are allowed to become the kings. There is no free speech. Citizens or other people were suppressed. It sounds reasonable. And they talk about how the democracy is superior to monarchy. So they say that, democracy gives everyone a chance to rise from rags to riches. Even a chai wala can become a PM. So they may say like that. So everyone gives a chance to rise from rags to riches, from illiterate to educated. Anybody can become a prime minister or a chief minister. So the people of the democracy regime, they take pride that it can actually uplift anybody. Even women can also become the chief minister, prime minister, anybody can. And not only the men, women, even the third sex also. So they may say like that. So again, this appears to be a completely logical, fair and a practical model compared to monarchy. So there's a very logical reason. But the propagators of modernity, they should also give the traditionalists a chance to explain why the monarchical regime functioned the way it functioned. So let us see, actually, when you talk about the monarchical regime, we have to properly see that. So the Indian system of leadership, that means the Vedic system of leadership, the kingly regime, it was not like the Western monarchy. The Western monarchy was more like a dictatorship kind of a system. But the Vedic system of regime of the king, it was not like a Western system of dictatorship. The Vedic system, the king would be guided by the board of Brahmanas. But in the Western system of dictatorship, there is no board of the Brahmanas who would be actually guiding them. So we see various examples. For the example which we see in King Vena itself. So King Vena was an unjust ruler, and his subordinates advised him to the Brahmanas advised him, but then he did not listen to them. So when his atrocities became intolerable, the Brahmanas actually killed King Vena. And Sumantra, who was the Dashrath Maharaj's chariot driver, but he had the power to reprimand Queen Kaikeyi for her insistence on sending Lord Ram to the forest. Even a chariot driver, people say that in monarchical regime there was no free speech. But even a chariot driver had the power to reprimand Queen Kaikeyi. And Bhishma himself strongly advocated that a cruel king should be removed by the subjects. And Sanjaya, who was an ordinary secretary of the powerful Dhritarashtra, he would give strong worded warnings to Dhritarashtra. So how can you say that there is no free speech? He would give strong worded warnings to Dhritarashtra. And Dushyanta, you will see in the 9th canto, Dushyanta, he adopted a qualified person to become the king. He had many sons. But because when he saw that none of his sons were qualified to become the kings, he did not make any of his sons as the king. He adopted a qualified person as a son and then chose him as a successor. So how can you say that the opportunity is limited only to the one particular family? So in that way, there are many examples. And Ravana was dislodged from his throne by mighty Ramana, mighty Lord Ram. So therefore, every system has its good and bad sides, but the best system can only be judged by those who are truly transparent from within, and those who are actually following the dharmic way of life, those who are following a proper sadhana. Only they can actually properly judge any system according to the good and bad points. So here we see the one of the main difference between Prithu Maharaj and Vena is that this quality of cooperation and submission to the Brahmanas. That is one of the main difference between Prithu Maharaj and King Vena. So King Vena was a person who was actually very arrogant towards the Brahmanas. He did not listen to the advice of the Brahmanas. Here Prithu Maharaj, we can see his submission towards the Brahmanas. So this principle this is actually a very important principle. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the last verse of the Gita? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayobhutir Dhruva Neetir Matir Mama. So wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will certainly be victory, morality, Tatra Shri Vijayobhutir, all opulence, everything will flourish wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna. So one is like, when you talk about the scripture, one is the historical perspective and another is the concept behind that history. Just like the different demons also, there is a personality, Kamsa, who was a person, Kamsa, and there is the concept behind Kamsa. Putana, the person Putana who tried to kill Krishna, but there is a Anartha represented by Putana, the false guru. So similarly, this verse talks about wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, all these things will be there. Victory, morality, etc. This is the historical personalities, Krishna and Arjuna. But there is a concept also. What is the concept? Wherever there is Krishna, that means that wherever there is the visionary and Arjuna, Krishna represents the visionary. Krishna gave the vision to Arjuna. And Arjuna is the person who implemented that vision, who took that vision and who actually implemented that vision. That means Krishna played the Brahminical role and Arjuna played the Kshatriya role. So wherever there is a cooperation between the true Brahmana, who is a representative of Krishna, and the Kshatriya, who is also a representative of Krishna, wherever there is cooperation between the Brahmana and the Kshatriya, Brahmanas represent one who gives a spiritual vision and the Kshatriyas have the material competence to implement that vision. So wherever there is a cooperation between the visionary and the implementer of vision, so there will be certainly victory, prosperity, morality, determination and peace. So therefore, one is the historical reality, Krishna and Arjuna. Another is the concept represented by that historical reality. That means the cooperation between the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. And here we see that is the main difference between Prithu Maharaj and King Vena. So that point is being highlighted over here. That is why action without vision is actually action without vision will lead to tragedy, and also vision without action will also lead to tragedy. When Kshatriya has performed the action without the taking the spiritual vision of the Brahmanas, it will lead to tragedy. Similarly, vision without action also is of no use. So therefore, action without vision is destructive, and vision without action is simply daydreaming. You simply keep visualizing, but no action to implement that vision. It's simply daydreaming. So there people, many human people actually look for miracle for success, but life cannot be led expecting miracles. So life is about strategically preparing so that a miracle is experienced. So there, in order to experience a miracle, the action should be coupled with the spiritual vision. Then there is a greater chance of success than actions without a vision. So that's what we see here. Yeah, at some point. Okay. So here, so Prabhupada talks about the democracy. He says, in the present age, the king or president forgets that he is the servant of God and thinks of himself as the servant of the people. So that is why even when the word Raja Rishi comes, evam parampara praptam imam Raja Rishayo viduhu. So Raja Rishi means what? It's a combination of Raja and Rishi. So Raja means one who has got a material competence. And Rishi means one who is a spiritual seer, one who is having a spiritual vision. So when there is a combination of spiritual vision and a material competence, then there could be actually, it can, there can be like greater welfare for the society and the country. So therefore, this principle is a universal principle. The cooperation between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, when that is achieved, then one can really do a, like this Krishna consciousness can spread to a large scales. And that's what is explained in the first canto also. The sages mentioned that because of the rule of Parikshit Maharaj, you have been able to perform this sacrifice for thousands of years. So here, Prabhupada further talks about the Vedic communism versus the dialectical or the modern communism. Modern communism, where they remove the God from the picture. They try to distribute everything equally to others, but there is still so much of starvation, the modern communism. And then, of course, in the last paragraph, Prabhupada again compares between Vena and Prithu Maharaj. So Vena was killed because of his disobedience to the orders of the Vedas and the Brahmanas. But whereas Prithu Maharaj knew very well that it behooved him to rule the planet as a servant of the saintly Brahmanas and the saintly persons and the Brahmanas. So similarly, when there is a cooperation between the Grahasthas and the Brahmacharis, the renounced order, then one can, then the preaching can actually flourish. Simply by the efforts of the sannyasis or the brahmacharis, that is not sufficient. And only the grahastha, they need the support of the grahasthas. And only the support of the grahasthas without the help of the renowned starter, that is also help in the long run. So for the long run, the sustainable system is where there is a cooperation between the brahmanas and the kshatriyas, where there's a cooperation between the grahasthas and the renounced brahmacharis and the sannyasis. That is a sustainable system in the long run. So where one element is removed, only the sannyasis are there, no grahastha support, or only the grahasthas but no renounced order support, that system will not actually last long in the, it will not last long in the long run. For especially for the creating a legacy of spreading Krishna consciousness. Next verse. Samaiva brahmano bhukte svamvaste svamdadati cha tasyai vanugrahenannam bhunjate kshatriyadayah.
The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras eat their food by virtue of Brahmana's mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property.
So he says that actually, whatever, only the Brahmanas, they enjoy their own property. Because everything belongs to the Brahmanas only. The other people, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, they actually, whatever the Brahmanas have given to them, they actually enjoy that. So whatever they are enjoying, it is simply the mercy of the Brahmanas. So therefore, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras enjoy food by the mercy of the Brahmanas alone. Only the Brahmana enjoys, wears and gives what actually truly belongs to them. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj is accepting the his subordination to the Brahmanas, which he also explained in his instruction to the citizens, that Ma jatu teja prabhavanna mahardibis titikshaya tapasa vidyayacha dedipyamane jita devatanam kulesvayam rajakula dvajanam. So that never you should disrespect the Brahmanas who are actually elevated in the transcendental knowledge, tapasya, etc. So here Prithu Maharaj is saying that only you actually truly enjoy what belongs to you. We simply enjoy whatever has been given to us by your mercy. So here it's explained that Brahmanas, because actually everything in this world belongs to the Brahmanas, but because they are busy sharing Krishna consciousness, they have no time to manage their finances. So they have kept Kshatriyas as the caretaker of managing their finances. The Kshatriyas are like the custodians of their wealth. They are like the savings bank account of the Brahmanas. The Kshatriyas are managing the finances of the Brahmanas. So therefore, Kshatriyas are like the bankers. The bankers, the money which the bankers are handling, the money does not belong to them. They are handling the finances of other people. They are simply the custodians of the money of the other people. So similarly, Prithu Maharaj is saying, we Kshatriyas are simply custodians of the wealth which actually belong to you. You are the person who actually truly enjoy the wealth. So therefore, so people think that sometimes the sannyasis or the brahmanas, they are like the idle parasites who are living at the cost of others. The second canto, second chapter. This was a chirani kim patina santi dishanti bhiksham. That Shukadeva Goswami told Parishit, what is the use of, what is the need of a pillow? What is the need of a elaborate foodstuffs? What is the need of clothes? There are trees and barks of the trees are there lying everywhere. What is the need of foodstuffs when you can actually eat fruits and roots in the forest? In that purport, Prabhupada says that generally people think the renunciants to be like idle parasites who are living at the cost of others. But here, this verse says that it is exactly the opposite is true. All other people are living at the cost of the Brahmanas, and Prithu Maharaj is saying only you are the person, you Brahmanas are the ones who actually truly enjoy your wealth. Of course, the Brahmanas should not, they should not tell to the Grahastha, so actually it is all wealth belongs to me, then you have to give that. That is actually that is an arrogance on the part of the Brahmanas. So it is the mood of the Grahasthas or the Kshatriyas, they are actually telling like that. The Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have no right to give charity, for whatever they possess belongs to the Brahmanas. Because in other places it's explained that Prabhupada says that the Kshatriyas and the Grahasthas, they are supposed to maintain the other three ashramas, Brahmachari ashram, Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram. They are supposed to maintain the other three ashramas. But the people in the other three ashramas, the vanaprasas, sannyasis and brahmacharis, they are supposed to lead a very simple lifestyle, accepting whatever is barely required for them, whatever is barely needed to maintain them. So when they lead a simple lifestyle, when they spend more time for spiritual cultivation, then the grahasthas, they do not have a grudge in maintaining them. If the vanaprasas and sannyasis and the brahmacharis, if they demand more, if they lead a lavish lifestyle, then the grahasthas would not be inclined to maintain them. So therefore, there is a responsibility on the part of the others also to have a very simple lifestyle, whatever is just needed for us to maintain ourselves and spend more time for spiritual cultivation. So therefore, so charity should be given by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas under the instructions of the Brahmanas. So Prithu Maharaj is feeling that actually whatever I possess, it belongs to you only. So therefore, I can give charity only under your instruction, because whatever I possess only belongs to you. I am simply a custodian. And unfortunately, at the present moment, so Prabhupada is mentioning two reasons for chaos in the present society. The present society, the reasons for chaos is that there is a scarcity of true brahmanas. And secondly, even if there are actually true brahmanas, the kshatriyas or the administrators, they are not ready to follow the instructions of the brahmanas. They are not submissive towards the brahmanas. So because of these two reasons, there is chaos in the society. So these purports are very important purports about the principle of cooperation between the brahmanas and kshatriyas. So the scarcity of the brahmanas leads to a chaotic situation. Yeah, next verse.
Yairidrishi bhagavato gatiratmavada. Ekantato nigamibhi pratipaditana. Tushyantvadabhra karuna svakritena nityam. Konama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram.
Prithu Maharaj continued, how can such persons who have rendered unlimited service by explaining the path of self-realization in relation to Supreme Personality of Godhead and whose explanations are given for our enlightenment with complete conviction and Vedic evidence be repaid except by folded palms containing the water for their satisfaction? Such great personalities can be satisfied only by their own activities, which are distributed amongst the human society out of their unlimited mercy.
So, this is the last verse. It's a very profound verse in which Prithu Maharaj is expressing his gratitude towards the four Kumaras, saying that Yairidrishi Bhagavato Gatiratma Vada Ekantato Nigamibi Pratipaditana Tushyant Adabra Karuno. You have been unlimitedly merciful towards me. Or you have rendered unlimited service unto me. What was that unlimited service? Ekantato Nigamibi Pratipaditana. You have explained the transcendental knowledge, the essence of the Vedic instructions. You have explained the path of self-realization in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavato gatir atmavada. You have, by explaining the path of self-realization, by explaining the transcendental knowledge in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have rendered unlimited service, you have shown unlimited mercy towards us. But how can I repay that debt towards you? Because you have rendered unlimited service, it is not possible to repay the debt towards you. Therefore, I simply, we can just offer some little water with our folded hands. That means he's feeling that I cannot do anything in return. Therefore, one can only offer with some water with folded hands. Ko nama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. So he's saying that actually, in other words, if a person thinks that he can repay the debt of transcendental knowledge towards the spiritual master, then such a person becomes a joker in the assembly. He becomes a laughing stock. Because one can never repay the debt toward the spiritual master. The greatest contribution of the spiritual master is the gift of transcendental knowledge. And that gift of transcendental knowledge can never be repaid. If a person thinks that he can repay, he is like a joker. He is actually a joker in an assembly. Vinoda patram means, it also means joker. So therefore, Prithvi Maharaj is saying that because I cannot repay this debt, swakritena nityam, better you be satisfied with your own actually service. You be satisfied with your own service because I cannot repay this debt. So we can see his profound consciousness. So Prabhupada is writing a very beautiful purport. He says that the best service to the humanity is to give transcendental knowledge, to distribute transcendental knowledge. Nobody can render better service than one who distributes the knowledge of spiritual realization in relation with the Supreme Personality of God. That verse in the third canto. Sarve Vedascha Yajnascha Tapo Danani Chanaga Jeeva Abhaya Pradanasya Na Kurviran Kalamapi. So Vidura is telling to Maitreya Rishi that the greatest charity is the charity of transcendental knowledge. The charity of transcendental knowledge can never be compared with all the other Vedic charities or the austerities or the sacrifices. And what is the result of this charity of transcendental knowledge? Jeeva Abhaya Pradanasya. This charity of transcendental knowledge, it actually awards fearlessness to a living entity. Therefore, this is the best service, is to distribute transcendental knowledge or assist in this mission of distributing transcendental knowledge. So since these living entities have very little knowledge of self-realization, they are not getting any relief, although they are very anxious to attain peace of mind and some substantial happiness. So the Vaishnava Acharyas and their servants can render a valuable service to humanity by disseminating knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Personality of God and the living entity. Such knowledge is the perfect benediction for humanity. Perfect benediction for humanity. So knowledge of Krishna is such a great gift that it is impossible to repay the benefactor. That is why he said that, Jatar, you be satisfied with your own acts. So we can see that, as I mentioned, the two aspects, like two wrong attitudes in giving charity. One wrong attitude is that neglect despite having ability. And second is that a person gives charity with the best of ability, but he maintains a feeling of pride. So previously we saw that how Prithu Maharaj gave everything in charity to his full capacity. But now we see that after giving everything in charity, he is not feeling proud that, oh, I gave so much. After giving everything in charity, then he is making this statement that actually, although I offered everything of my kingdom, including my Ratna Bandha to you, actually, we cannot repay the debt towards you. So better you be satisfied with your own actually, with your own acts. That means he is feeling utter humility, or he is feeling supremely grateful. Despite giving so much of charity, he feels that I have not given anything. For the gift of transcendental knowledge which you have given to us, I have not given anything to repay. He is making this statement after giving everything. So therefore, we can see that his supreme gratitude here. So even the similar verses comes many places in the Bhagavatam. Even any other place, similar mood came in the previously Bhagavatam. The third canto. The child in the womb was praying. The prayers of the child in the womb. None of the prayers, the child is saying that the child understands that he is actually servant of the Supreme Lord. That child is saying that I have received the rare blessing of being a devotee in the womb for 10 months by the great mercy that can be given by you alone. By your mercy, I was able to understand that I am your devotee. I lived as a devotee for 10 months in the womb. So then the child is saying, you have shown such mercy that how can I repay this debt towards you? The devotee child is feeling that actually I cannot repay this debt. Svenaiva tushyatu kritena sa dina nata. That means you are the savior of those suffering, dina nata. You should be satisfied with your own actions. So who can repay your mercy? Nobody can repay your mercy except by folding his hands in thanks. Ko nama tat prati vinanjalim asya kuryat. The child also offered a similar prayer here, that we can never repay the debt, you be satisfied with your own acts. And even in the Gopi Gita also, the 10th canto, gopis also pray similar, the famous verse. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam kavi biriditam kalma shapaham shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grinantiye bhuri dajana. So the gopis are actually glorifying the Krishna Katha. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam. So in that verse, at the end they say that bhuvi grinantiye bhuri dajana. That means those who spread this message of Krishna Katha, they are bhuri dajana. They are most munificent. They are most munificent. So that means what they mean is that those who spread the glory of Krishna Katha, they are most munificent. That though one may give that person everything which he possesses, that cannot repay the debt towards the person who gives Krishna Katha. So the same mood which Prithumaraj is speaking over here. And also there is another verse in the Uddhava Gita. Naivo payant apachitim kavayastavesha. Also similar verse to this. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained. He said that the gift of transcendental knowledge which one has received from the spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, that can never be repaid. And then he mentioned the only way to repay that gift is, the only way by which we can repay the gift is actually by sharing that with others. And of course, by applying it in our own lives. These are the two ways, by applying it in our own lives and by sharing it with others. So, next verse, we'll read together. Maitreya Uvacha Ta Atma Yoga Pataya Adi Rajena Pujita Shilam Tadiyam Shamsanta Kebavan Mishatam Rinam.
The great sage Maitreya continued, being thus worshipped by Maharaj Pratu, The four Kumaras, who were the masters of devotional service, became very pleased. Indeed, they appeared in the sky and praised the character of king, and everyone observed them.
So here we see that the masters of Atma Yoga, the Atma Yoga Pataya, in this way, they were worshipped by Prithu Maharaj, Adi Rajena, the original king. And they praised the Prithu Maharaj. And then they went back to their abode. So all the citizens were actually observing them. So this is also a very beautiful purport. That usually the personalities like the four Kumaras, they would not be visible to the common people. They would not be visible to the common people. But they appeared, especially actually being attracted by the character of Prithu Maharaj. But they came being attracted by the character of Prithu Maharaj, but all the citizens of Prithu Maharaj, because of being connected with Prithu Maharaj, even they also got the darshan of four Kumaras, they got the association of the four Kumaras, they were able to hear from the four Kumaras. So they also got the benefit because of their connection with Prithu Maharaj. So similarly, so this is a very important point, that because of one person's purity, because of one person's pure devotion, even others who are also connected with him, they also get benefit. So many times that there is some great devotee, because of his great dedication, people want to give so much. And then other people who are connected with him, other followers, they also get benefit. But if the followers start thinking that, they are all, the grahasthas are giving because of us, then that is a wrong idea. It could be because of other, we should always think that, it's better to think, always think that it's actually because of being connected with other great devotees, so therefore we are also getting the benefit. So that is why Prabhupada mentioned that, on some devotees asked Prabhupada that, what was our qualification that we took to Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada, what did he say? I made your qualification. I made your qualification. So in one of the Vrindavan Yatra, Radhana Swami Maharaj explained. So we should always remember that he said that we were able to come to Vrindavan in the past only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and we have come to this Vrindavan Yatra only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and in the future also we will be able to come to this Vrindavan Yatra by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So in that sense, because of connection with a great soul, even the other common people, they also get benefit. So all the citizens also, they got the association of the four Kumaras. So similarly, we are reading Prabhupada's books, and then now there are so many other commentaries of the other acharyas, other books also come. But we are able to read the commentaries of the other acharyas only because of the strength we derived from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So we should never forget that, these books are some greater, better than Prabhupada's books or something. No, only because Prabhupada's books had such great clarity, because of reading the Prabhupada's books, because of getting the spiritual strength and clarity from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, so therefore we are able to read the other acharyas' books. So in that way, that the four Kumaras, the citizens, because of their connection with Prithu Maharaj, they were able to get the association of the personalities like the four Kumaras. Next verse. Vainyastu duryo mahatam samsidhyatma adhyatma sikshaya apta kamami vatmanam mena atmanya vastitaha.
Amongst great personalities, Maharashtrutu was the chief by virtue of his fixed position in relation to spiritual engagement. He remained satisfied as one who has achieved all success in spiritual understanding.
So, Vainyastu Duryo Mahatam. Duryo Mahatam means he is the chief among the great personalities. So, Prabhupada says, Duryo Mahatam, Mahatam, it basically means Mahatma. Therefore, Prabhupada says that, who is a Mahatma? Mahatmanastu Mamparta, Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. So, Mahatma, they have taken shelter of the internal energy of the Supreme Lord. And Prithu Maharaj is the best of the Mahatmas. And then Aptakamam Ivatmanam. Aptakamam Ivatmanam means he remained self-satisfied as one who has achieved all success in spiritual understanding. So the even in self-satisfaction, there are different levels of self-satisfaction. Somebody may be self-satisfied during doing fruitive activities. Somebody may be self-satisfied doing philosophical speculation. But the topmost level of self-satisfaction is being self-satisfied, engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. So therefore, that's what Prabhupada says, remaining fixed in devotional service gives one the utmost in self-satisfaction. So Vishnu Chakotaku says that Atma Kamam, Apta Kamam Iva means Prithu Maharaj considered himself as if fully satisfied, Iva, by the complete limits of teachings on Atma. However, he was not fully satisfied because Prithu Maharaj, being a pure devotee, how can he be satisfied simply with the teachings of the Atma? Because he is a pure devotee, he could be fully satisfied only by pure bhakti. So therefore, the word apta kamam eva is mentioned. He considered himself as if fully satisfied by the teachings of the Atma. Actually, he could be satisfied only by the engaging in devotional service. Next verse. Karmani cha yata kalam yata desham yata balam yato chittam yata vittam akarod brahma satkritam.
Being self-satisfied, Maharashtrutu executed his duties as perfectly as possible according to time and his situation, strength and financial position. His only aim in all his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way he duly acted.
This is also a very beautiful verse that apart from engaging in devotional service, he also performed his prescribed duties of varnashram. That is explained in this verse. Karmani cha yata kalam. He performed his prescribed varnashram duties according to the time, yata kalam, desham, according to the place, yata balam, according to the qualified person, and wealth, yato chittam, yata vittam, and as suitable to his bhakti. And akarod brahma satkritam, Vishnu Chakotaku says that Prithu Maharaj performed his prescribed duties thinking that brahmanas were doing the actions. So the pure devotees, they also perform their prescribed duties, varnashram duties. Krishna mentions in the third chapter that karma naivahi samsiddhim astita janakadayaha loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartum argasi. Self-raised people like Janak Maharaj, that even they also performed their prescribed duties in the spirit of Nishkama Karma Yoga in order to set example for others. Few verses before he explained that Yastvatmaratir evasyat atmatrupsascha manava, that for a self-realized person there is no duty, he does not have any desire. But still he says that even they also perform their prescribed duties according to Nishkama Karma Yoga in order to set example for others. Not as a worship of the process of developing love is actually devotional service, but still they perform their prescribed duties because they are part of the common society. If somebody is living in a cave in the Himalayas where he is disconnected from the society, he can be only doing bhakti. But if somebody is part of the common society of the common people, you are not alienated from the society, then we also have to set an example of a dharmic way of life for the common people. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj, he performed his prescribed duties according to the time, place and qualified person in order to teach the people. Vrishna Chakradhakar mentions four reasons for performing his prescribed duties. In order to teach the people. Second is to avoid lapses in following the rules of Varnashram. And thirdly, to avoid the criticism of the path of bhakti. That means that there will be some common people, they will say that, these devotees are fanatical people, they don't follow the normal rules and regulation, dharmic way of life. So in that way, they may criticize the devotees, they may criticize the path of bhakti. So therefore, even the pure devotees, they perform their prescribed duties of varnashram, so that the common people do not unnecessarily criticize the path of bhakti or the community of devotees. This is the third reason. And the fourth reason is that to hide his pure bhakti. That means like he externally appeared like a kshatriya performing his prescribed duties. But internally he is actually a pure devotee. He actually hid his pure bhakti, but externally by externally performing his prescribed duties of varnashram. To hide his pure bhakti because it is confidential. So he performed his duties. How did he perform? Without being attached, following the previous conduct, either personally or by agents. The householders, without being attached, following previous conduct, either personally or by agents, can do a few karmas without being contaminated. So that's why Prabhupada has written a very beautiful purport here. So Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj, being perfect in the Lord's devotional service, he could execute his prescribed duties with complete perfection as befitted the time and circumstance and his financial strength and personal ability. So Prithu Maharaj's activities were not ordinary, for they were in relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. So Prithu Maharaj was a devotee and also executed his kshatriya duties at the same time. So that is called as integral dharma. There is isolated dharma and integral dharma. Isolated dharma means there are two types of isolated dharma. One is that only performing one's varnashram prescribed duties, but one does not perform the Bhagavad dharma, that is devotional service to Krishna. Another type of isolated dharma is that a person avoids the his varnashram duties by giving Krishna consciousness as an excuse. He doesn't perform the varnashram duties, he just performs devotional service. When a person has an escapist attitude, that means that's an isolated dharma. But integral dharma is one who balances, harmonizes both the varnashram duties and the devotional service to Krishna. But in regards to varnashram duties, there can be certain situation where the varnashram can be unfavorable for bhakti. So at that time, one will have to reject the varnashram duties. Because the priority should be for Bhagavad Dharma. But as far as possible, a person harmonizes. But whenever there is a whenever it is coming in the way of devotional service, one actually rejects that and then gives preference to devotional service. In that way, so Prithu Maharaj performed both these things. So Prabhupada says that a pure devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities, but behind them there is a profound significance, that is the satisfaction of the Lord. In order to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, one has to become very expert. So Prithu Maharaj did not allow himself to function outside the institution of Varnashram. Although he was a Paramahamsa, transcendental to all material activities. although he is Paramahamsa, he is beyond the Varnashram, he is liberated soul, but he did not allow himself to function outside the system of Varnashram. He remained at his position as a Kshatriya to rule the world, and at the same time remained transcendental to the activities of a Kshatriya by engaging in devotional service. In other words, he concealed himself as a pure devotee and externally presented himself as a simply a powerful and a dutiful king. Are you getting this point? He concealed himself as a pure devotee, externally presented himself as a powerful and a dutiful king. So that means you keep the Bhagavatam in the heart and Gita in the action. So Gita is telling Krishna, Krishna is telling to Arjuna to fight the battle, to perform his Kshatriya Dharma. Means you have a otherworldly aspiration, but perform your this worldly responsibility. So keep the Bhagavatam in the heart. That means like with the remembrance of the Supreme Lord, with the love for the Lord in the heart, and perform your perform your this worldly responsibilities in the spirit of Nishkama Karma Yoga. That means without attachment to the fruits of the results and offering the results to the Lord. So concealing himself as a pure devotee, he externally manifested himself as a very powerful and a dutiful king. In other words, none of his activities were carried out for his own sense gratification. Everything he did was meant for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. This is clearly explained in the next verse.
If we see, if someone is really pure devotee, we get inspiration from him by seeing that how the pure devotion is there. Huh. And we take his words more seriously. So if somebody is manifesting the symbols of pure devotion, then it's very helpful for us. And why, what's the need to hide the devotion?
No, it is to be kept confidential, in the sense that that's why even Rupa Goswami says that avyartha kalatvam, he explains the symptoms of, there are symptoms of love of Krishna, like trembling or shedding of the tears. So these symptoms, they can be imitated by even by a common person. So therefore, if we actually try to go by these symptoms, then we may mistake a common person as a great devotee. And sometimes the pure devotees, they also hide these symptoms. One can actually, we may mistake a pure devotee as an ordinary person. The reliable symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord, reliable symptoms of a person who is having love for the Lord is avyartha kalatvam, namagane sadaruchi. That means not wasting a single moment, and tolerance, free from pride, mana shunyata. These are the symptoms. These symptoms will not be hidden by a pure devotee. Otherwise, in the sense, a devotee, what he hides is that, like, he doesn't want to externally show himself like a great devotee. Because Krishna also mentions that, I am giving this confidential knowledge to you because you are my devotee and friend. Because you are a non-envious, so therefore I am giving this confidential knowledge. Something is, which is confidential, it is also supposed to be given according to the qualification. Otherwise, can have an opposite effect also. So he says that to speak the glories of the holy name to the faithless is an offense. Therefore, we give general teachings to the common people. More confidential dealings, confidential teachings, the confidential pastimes of the Lord, or the more confidential knowledge of the Lord. So that only to somebody who has already developed a certain level of faith. So that principle of keeping something confidential, which is rare, that is important for the benefit of the other people also. Because otherwise, they common people, some those who are envious, they can become offensive also. As a Madhivadhikari, he avoids envious. His principles are there.
But these can be discussed in the association of devotees, maybe hidden in the public, but in the association of
In the association of the devotees. Since for common people, Prithu Maharaj presented himself like a dutiful Kshatriya king. But he was actually a pure devotee within. In the association of devotees, in the association of devotees, definitely, we discuss Krishna Katha, we discuss. In the association of faithful people, we discuss the glories of the Lord, the more confidential knowledge, other pastimes of the Lord. But in the presence of common people, we just give a general description of the deeper pastimes of the Lord or the more confidential knowledge. Because one has to see the level of faith also, isn't it? And Mahaprabhu embraced Ramananda Rai, met Ramananda Rai. When he saw the common people, other brahmanas were a little perturbed, like why the sannyasi is embracing this kayastha, then immediately they restrained their emotions. Isn't it? Next verse. Phalam brahmani sanyasya nirvishangasamahitaha karmadhyaksham cha manvana atmanam prakrite param.
Maharaj Prithu completely dedicated himself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Consequently, all the fruits of his activities were dedicated to the Lord, and he always thought of himself as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of everything.
So Maharaj Prithu set a right example for karma yoga by offering all the fruits of his activities to the Supreme Lord. Karma yoga, this is a verse from the Gita. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasiyat. So for common people who are living in this world, they have to offer the fruits of their activities to Krishna. So Maharaj Prithu set the example, good example of karma yoga. The first requirement of karma yoga is that offer the results of activities to the Supreme Brahman. That is why when Krishna mentioned the definition of sannyas, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo viduhu sarva karma falatyagam prakustyagam vichakshana. To give up the results of all activities is called renunciation. And that state is called the renounced order of life. So therefore, definition of sannyas was that when we offer the results of our activities to Krishna, it is as good as the sannyas order. So Prithu Maharaj was practically a sannyasi. So when a person offers the results of activities, one is actually practicing karma yoga. And karma yoga is especially for the householders. And Prabhupada mentions, ISKCON's mission is actually, ISKCON's mission is that the members of ISKCON are expected to practice karma yoga and devotional service. To set example for the common people, karma yoga and devotional service. So in this way, when a person offers everything to Krishna, even in this life, a person can become Jivan Mukta. He is accepted as a Jivan Mukta, liberated soul. So these are some of the points in the purport. Next verse. Griheshu varta manopi sasamrajya shriyanvita na sajyatendriyarteshu nirakham matirarkavat.
Maharaj Prithu, who was very opulent due to the prosperity of his entire empire, remained at home as a householder. Since he was never inclined to utilize his opulences for the gratification of his senses, he remained unattached, exactly like the sun, which is unaffected in all circumstances.
So although he was living in the house, griheshu vartamano api, sa samrajya, despite being surrounded by so many opulences, na asajya, asajya tendriyarteshu, he was not attached to the sense objects. and he was like a sun. So in it, the two examples of sun. Sun never gets contaminated by the objects which it comes in contact with. On the other hand, the sun actually purifies the objects it comes in contact with. That's what the two qualities of Shuddham and Apapa Viddham. The Isopanishad, the 8th verse. Shuddham, prophylactic and antiseptic nature of the Supreme Lord. Antiseptic means it actually removes the contamination, infection. Prophylactic means it protects a person from getting an infection. So that is the Shuddham and Apapa Viddham. And we see that Prithu Maharaj, although he was being surrounded by the opulences of the kingdom, he was completely unattached. So the height of absorption in Krishna is that despite being surrounded by sense objects, a person is absorbed in Krishna. That is height of absorption in Krishna. And what is the height of absorption in Maya? How can we say? Yeah, even in the absence of some subjects, a person remains agitated. Or even little more higher is the, despite being surrounded by Krishna conscious vibrations, Krishna as a devotees and Krishna conscious vibrations, still a person is thinking of sense objects or absorbed in sense objects. That is the height of absorption in Maya. So here Prithu Maharaj's height of absorption in Krishna. Height of absorption in Maya is like, you can say examples like Dhanurdas, when there was a Ranganath's procession was going on. So everyone was actually absorbed in the taking darshan of Ranganath, but Dhanurdas was actually, was focused on the prostitute. This is height of absorption in Maya. But by the mercy of a pure devotee, Ramanujacharya, he actually lifted him from the height of absorption in Maya to the as an elevated position. So this is a, so we'll just take a break now and then we'll continue.
Samacharan putran utpadayamasa pancharishyatma sammatan.
Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitful activities but also begot 5 sons by his wife Archi. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his own desire.
So here we see that Prithu Maharaj also begot 5 sons and according to his own desire. So Prabhupada says that this system of begetting sons exactly according to his own desire is practically unknown in the present age. For this, in order to beget sons according to one's desire, how the son should have a particular quality, one has to follow the system of Garbhadhana Samskara. So Garbhadhana Samskara very much depends upon the mental state of the parents before procreation. The child who is begotten out of lust may not turn out as the parents desire. As stated in the Shastras, Yata Yonir Yata Bijam. Whatever seed you have put, you will get only that kind of plant. So similarly, what kind of seed we plant, that depends on the mental state of the parents at the time of procreation. So here, Atma Sammata means Prithu Maharaj begot sons exactly like himself, who are esteemed like him. So he did not beget children out of lust. And what was the purpose of his begetting children? In order to create a legacy for the future. So therefore, like we have the concept of, suppose, with the concept of like Bhajanandi. So Bhajanandi means somebody who is only concerned about his own bhajan but is not interested in the sharing of Krishna consciousness, then that kind of selfishness is not appreciated, because in sharing Krishna consciousness it could be in different ways. Even in one sense, living in the Govardhan eco village, it's also actually equivalent to sharing, in the sense. Here you may not have opportunity to directly go and preach, but this project itself is actually preaching for others. Even in doing the services here, that is also actually sharing. But the point here is that when we have to share Krishna consciousness, it involves actually a lot of anxieties and responsibilities and doing many different projects, different this thing. Suppose there is a youth program or congregation program, you have to think about finances, who will cook this thing, sound system, and so many this thing. So just because so many anxieties are there, so let me just be simply satisfied with my own bhajan. Then that's not so much appreciated. So similarly, in the grihastha ashram, in begetting children and raising children, it definitely involves a lot of anxiety and tolerance and patience. The parents have to, in begetting children and raising them in a Krishna conscious manner, it is a huge responsibility. It involves so much of anxiety and responsibility. One has to go through so many this thing. But if a person simply avoids that, just to peacefully practice one's own Krishna consciousness, then that is also like a Bhajanandi Vaishnava who is simply interested in his own bhajan. But on the other hand, one who actually begets children for the sake of creating a legacy for the Prabhupada's mission, one who begets Krishna conscious children for creating a legacy for Krishna conscious children, although it involves so much of anxiety and responsibility, but one gets the mercy for taking the responsibility. So similarly, one may do one's own bhajan, which does not involve much anxieties, but when a person takes up the sharing of Krishna consciousness, it involves actually more anxiety and responsibility, but that will actually, one will get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prithu Maharaj begat his children for the purpose of begetting his children is for the future administration of his government all over the world. A devotee is not concerned about his own present going back to Godhead. The devotee with a deeper sense of Krishna consciousness is not simply concerned about his own going back to Godhead, but he is concerned about creating a legacy for the future, how people in the future can also practice Krishna consciousness, in a more, how we can create a better facility for the people in the future. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj was concerned about the future administration. Therefore, success without succession is a failure. Success without creating a succession is actually a failure. So therefore, one has to create a legacy. So for that legacy, Prithu Maharaj created children exactly like, procreated children exactly like himself. Next verse, the names of the sons are mentioned. Vijitashvam, Dumrakesham, Hariyaksham, Dravinam, Vrikam, Sarvesham, Lokapalanam, Dadaraika, Pruturgunan.
After begetting 5 sons named Vijitashva, Dumrakesha, Hariyaksh, Dravina and Vrika, Prithu Maharaj continued to rule the planet. He accepted all the qualities of the deities who governed all other planets.
So these are the names of 5 sons, and he embodied all the qualities of all the devatas. There are predominating deity for each planet. So previously the kings would be mainly from the Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha. But the glory of Prithu Maharaj is that he exhibited all the qualities of all the predominating deities of the different planets. Although the kings would be mainly coming from the Chandra Vamsha or Surya Vamsha, but he not only had the qualities of moon god or sun god, he had the qualities of all the other deities also. Prabhupada gives some dose on moon landing, this thing also. And next verse, Gopitaya jagat srishte kale sve sve chutatmakah manovagruti bisamyair gunai samranjayan praja.
Since Maharaj Prithu was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj used to please them in all respects by his words, mentality, works, and gentle behavior.
So this is a very beautiful verse. So Prithu Maharaj, he pleased all the citizens by his words, mentality, works and gentle behavior. Mano vak vritti bi saumyai. And he, Gopi Taya, he protected the Lord's creation. Kale sve sve achyutatmakaha. So always thinking of the Lord in order to protect the created universe, according to time, Kale, he pleased the citizens by his attractive qualities, words and mind. So here we see that Prithu Maharaj used to please his citizens by his extraordinary capacity to understand the mentality of others. So every citizens were like perfectly pleased with him. They were living in complete peace. So Prabhupada explains that many atheists and scientists, they talk about the origin of the creation, etc. But they can never understand the purpose of the creation. Purpose of the creation can only be understood by the devotees. So when we talk about the necessity for a creator, so we usually give this argument by design. It is called as the teleological argument. Design implies a designer. So of course sometimes the scientists, they counter argue by saying that sometimes we see something which has no design, it also has a designer. For example, if you see a modern art painting, when you see a modern art painting, it appears that maybe somebody was going with his maybe different bottles of paint bottles, and some other person came and hit him, and all the paints maybe spilled over, and then this paint formed. Modern art, if you see modern art painting, it would appear that as if it was like something which is not somebody consciously made that painting and made it. But actually modern art, which has no design, but it has a designer. So therefore scientists, they say, when we give the argument design implies a designer, they give a counter argument. No, there are things in this world which apparently have no design, which have no organized structure, but still they have a particular designer, creator. And there could be examples of something which appears to be organized, designed, but it might have come by chance. In that way, scientists actually give some counter arguments. So then they say that they believe. But when we say that, if we say that, this watch, do we believe that the watch has come by chance? No, it cannot come by chance. Watch must have a designer. But they will say that because we know the function of the watch, so therefore there must be a designer who must have properly designed the watch in order to make the watch function in a particular manner. So they mentioned that without the understanding of the function or the purpose of the particular thing, the design argument does not guarantee a designer. In the case of a watch, we know the purpose of the watch, therefore we can accept there must be a person who designed it. But if we don't know the purpose of something, it could have come by chance. But the scientists then, when you take the same logic to the universe, creation. In the case of the creation implies a creator, we say. But then, if you don't know the purpose of the universe, purpose of the creation, the scientists say because they think that the creation has no purpose, because they are not aware of the purpose of the creation, so they say that this creation must have come by chance. But they believe in the creator or a designer for a watch because there is a purpose of the watch. Because they believe that there is no purpose for the creation, although it seems to be so much of organized, they believe that there is no designer or creator behind it. So now the golden question is that what is the purpose of the universe? What is the purpose of the universe? And this purpose of the universe, purpose of the creation, it is only known to the Lord or the devotees. So Lord or the devotees. So that's what Prabhupada says here. Atheists cannot understand the purpose behind the creation, but only the devotees know the purpose of the creation. So that is like, for example, there is a small anecdote kind of, or allegory kind of this one. There is a one husband and five wives. One husband and five wives. The five wives are called as why, how, when, what, and where. So out of these five wives, the wife called as why, W-H-Y, the wife why is actually affects the husband more deeply than the other wives. So what it means is that in the case of the creation, the scientists, they are mainly bothered about the other questions. How this world is created, when it was created, what it is made of, where the different things are. But they are not concerned about the question of why this world was created, the purpose of this creation. So therefore, if you analyze, the question why is the most difficult to understand compared to the other things. One can understand the other factors, but the question why, in order to understand why this world is created, one has to ask this question only to the person who was created or somebody who is empowered by that person. So in the case of the scientists, they have answer to the other factors, other questions, but they never have answer to the question of why this world is created. So therefore, this why question is visible only to the devotees. So Prabhupada is saying that, mentioning this point, that because Prithu Maharaj is a representative of the Lord, he knew the purpose of the Lord's creation, and therefore the Lord's creation must be protected intelligently, understanding the purpose of the Lord's creation. So what is the purpose of creation? It is basically twofold. The living entities have come to this world to enjoy independently from Krishna. And the purpose of creation is to give an opportunity to the living entities to enjoy independently from Krishna. And secondly, at the same time, to elevate them in their Krishna consciousness. So Prithu Maharaj, he actually satisfied the citizens in their sense enjoyment, and also at the same time elevated them in Krishna consciousness so that they can ultimately return home back to God. So therefore Prabhupada explains that even in this fallen age, even in this Kali Yuga, if the rulers, governors and presidents take advantage of Prithu Maharaj's example, there will certainly be a reign of peace and prosperity throughout the world. Certainly a reign of peace and prosperity throughout the world. Next verse. Rajetyadan namadeyam soma raja iva paraha suryavatvitrijan drikshnan pratapam chabuvo vasau.
Maharaj Prithu became as celebrated a king as Soma Raj, the king of the moon. He was also powerful and exacting, just like the sun god, who distributes heat and light and at the same time exacts all the planetary waters.
So here we see that he is like sun god. Sun actually extracts all the water and also gives out the water. As a king, he would exact taxes from the people and he would also do welfare for the citizens. And he was like a moon god, in the sense that when people are tormented by the heat of the sun, moon god actually gives a cooling sensation to the people. In that sense, Prithu Maharaj was like a moon god in the sense that he pleased everyone just like a moonshine. So both the sun and moon have particular influences by which they maintain order in the universe. And the modern scientists and philosophers should become familiar with the Lord's perfect plan for the universal maintenance. Next verse. Durdarshes tejas tejasayevagner mahendra iva durjayah titikshaya daritriva dyauriva bhishta donranam.
Maharaj Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders any more than one could conquer fire itself. He was so strong that he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth, and in fulfilling various desires of human society, he was like heaven itself.
So basically from 56th verse till the second last verse of this chapter describes the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. So in this verse it's explained that he had unconquerable influence like fire god, Durdarshe Tejasa Vagne, and he had unconquerable strength like Indra. So nobody could, just like from the fire, heat and light comes. Whenever there is fire, you cannot stop heat and light emanating from fire. So similarly, whatever order with Prithu Maharaj would give, nobody can actually surpass those orders. Nobody can surpass those orders. And then he was powerful like Indra, because Indra had a Vajra weapon. With that Vajra weapon, he can destroy the mountains. In that way, he was very powerful. And Titikshaya Daritriva, he had tolerance like the earth. So earth is a personification of tolerance. So he was tolerant like earth. And Iva Bhishta Do Nrinam, that means he gave desirables to men like the Swarga, or he was like a he would fulfill the desires of human society. In that, he was like heaven himself, or he was like a rain from the sky. Just like the desires of the citizens, he fulfilled all the desires of the citizens, just like rain pours forth and satisfies everyone. That way, he satisfied everyone's desires. So, one point I would like to mention, that Prithu Maharaj, in his tolerance, he was like Mother Earth. At the same time, whenever he would give orders, nobody can surpass his orders. So when we talk about Prithu Maharaj's anger with Mother Earth, so Prithu Maharaj contemplated for a long time and then he became angry with Mother Earth as the cause of the starvation which was going on there. And then Mother Earth took the shape of a cow, and still Prithu Maharaj did not get carried away with the external form. Mother Earth gave so many arguments, but still Prithu Maharaj did not get carried away. Then Earth actually, finally she surrendered to Prithu Maharaj, but still Prithu Maharaj continued to be angry. So only when Mother Earth said that I'll give back all the food grains, then Prithu Maharaj's anger subsided. So that is an example where Prithu Maharaj, how he was so angry in the sense that, although it's explained here, Prithu Maharaj in his tolerance is compared with Mother Earth, but he became angry with the symbol of tolerance, Earth itself. So what does it show? That means Prithu Maharaj exhibited all these qualities not as the goal but as a tool. So many times we see in this world people exhibit different qualities, but people become bound by those qualities. Because each quality, whether we talk about tolerance or ahimsa or determination, each quality has a good side and also a bad side. Somebody may be determined, but the flip side of determination is that a person can be obstinate. A person can be stubborn. We will see in the next verse, Prithu Maharaj in his determination, he was like Mount Meru. Whatever he determined, whatever sankalpa he takes, nobody can shake him from his sankalpa, just like nobody can move Mount Meru. The example given is also like, you can't even move ordinary mountain, what is big of a Mount Sumeru. So nobody can move Mount Meru. Similarly, whatever he has determined to do, nobody can actually move him from that. Where Prithu Maharaj had taken the sankalpa of performing 100 Ashwamedha sacrifice, but still, when Brahmaji came and told him to stop the sacrifice, he actually became flexible and he stopped performing the 100th sacrifice. That means he became flexible. So when the flip side of determination is that a person can become stubborn and obstinate. The flip side of tolerance is that a tolerance can be exploited by wrong people. When somebody is ahimsa, practicing ahimsa, that ahimsa can be exploited by the wrong kind of people. So therefore, each quality has a flip side also, has a bad side to that. So if a person is bound by that quality, then if a person is exhibiting that quality as a goal, then that quality can be taken advantage by other people. That's what happened. Like there is a Mahatma Gandhi, for him, Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. He was bound by the quality of Ahimsa, and that led to the death of so many Hindus during the partition. Because that quality of Ahimsa, that was actually taken advantage, and then that led to so much of violence, so many people got killed. That's why he was assassinated, etc. So the point is that many people exhibit the qualities, but they are bound by those qualities. But when the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees, when they exhibit the qualities, they exhibit the qualities as a tool and not as the goal. So they understand, like in a particular situation, if this quality is not leading to benefit the people, they will not exhibit that quality. So Prithu Maharaj, in his tolerance, is like Mother Earth. But if he had been tolerant towards the Mother Earth, it would have led to the starvation for the entire kingdom. So therefore, he was not bound by the quality of tolerance. He became actually even angry towards the symbol of tolerance, Mother Earth. That is one of the sense. Bhishma Dev took a vow to protect the kingdom of Hastinapur, that I will never deviate from this vow. Yeah, that is what Bhishma, that was because of the stubbornness of Bhishma Dev towards his vow. You know, that is the reason for one of the Kurukshetra war. That's why Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. Bhishma Dev is the right example for giving his heart to Krishna. But his body was given in the service of Adharma. He's not the right example for that particular, he's engaging his body in the service of Adharma. That's why Krishna wanted to teach a lesson that even if somebody who is in the, my devotee who is on the side of Adharma, he will not be spared, he will be punished. So Bhishma Dev was stubborn about his vow. Even though that was actually leading to so many wrong, this one, but he was stubborn about his vow. So that, but on the other hand, Krishna took a vow to not to lift a weapon before the battle. But when in the battle, when it was an emergency, he took the chariot wheel to attack Bhishma Dev. Because his eternal dharma is, his eternal vow is to protect dharma, to establish religion. The eternal vow is to actually establish religion. The temporary dharma was not to lift a weapon. So for the sake of the eternal vow of protecting dharma, so he became flexible and gave up the temporary vow. Yeah, that is a sense. Yeah, it's not that he liked like that, but yeah, from a higher perspective, it was the will of the Lord. Krishna wanted the world to learn the lesson through Bhishma Dev. But from a human perspective, yeah, Bhishma Dev was stubborn about his vow. So therefore, his body was engaged in the side of Adharma, but his heart was given to Krishna. So ultimately, a devotee is one who his heart is given to Krishna. But the best example of a devotee is not just the heart is given to Krishna, But body, mind and words, heart, everything is given to Krishna. That's the best example of a devotee. Because that will not create confusion. If body is given to some adharma, if the heart is given to Krishna, it can create confusion. So here we see Prithu Maharaj, his tolerance is compared to Mother Earth, but he also became angry with Mother Earth. And in the next verse also, as I mentioned, that Prithu Maharaj, he was like, in his determination, nobody can shake him from his determination, just like nobody can move the Mount Meru. But he became flexible when he understood that this 100th performance of 100 sacrifice is actually leading to the adharma, is leading to the propagation of adharma. He became flexible and then he stopped performing the 100 sacrifice. That means he saw that whether the exhibition of this quality is, how it is affecting the people. He's not stubborn about that particular quality. It is about what is the result of exhibiting that quality. Is it benefiting the society or is it causing harm to the society? Therefore, they use the quality as a tool and not as a goal. So this particular understanding should be there. So then, so we see that Prithu Maharaj was angry with Mother Earth, just like the Rudra would be angry at the time of annihilation. And even in the episode of performing the 100 Ashwamedha sacrifice, that time also Prithu Maharaj became angry with Indra. But in the first instance, in the case of anger towards the Mother Earth, he continued to be angry only when Mother Earth actually said that, okay, I will give back all the grains. But the second instance, on the request of Brahmaji, he actually gave up his anger. And then he developed a friendship with Indra. So therefore, we can see this contrast. So, just as a rainfall satisfies everyone's desire, Prithu Maharaj used to satisfy everyone. It was like the sea, in that nobody could understand his depths. 59th verse. Dharmaradiva sikshayam ascharye himavaniva kuvera iva koshadyo guptarto varuno yata.
Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamraj, the superintendent of death. His opulence was comparable to the Himalayan mountains, where all valuable jewels and metals are stocked. He possessed great riches like Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, and no one could reveal his secrets, for they were like the demigod Varunas.
So here, further qualities are explained. He was like Yamaraj in giving punishment and intelligence. Because to give justice, one requires fine intelligence. To give justice just according to the punishment, just in proportion to the proportion to the crime, not more or not less, that requires fine discretion and intelligence. Therefore, he is compared with Yamaraj. He was like the Himalayas in astonishing everyone, or his opulence was compared to the Himalayas. And he possessed great riches like Kuvera. And nobody could reveal his secrets. Like Varuna is known for hiding things. Like Prithu Maharaj, nobody could reveal his secrets. Next verse. Matarishveva sarvatma balena maha saujasa avishakhyataya devo bhagavan bhutaradiva.
In his bodily strength and in the strength of his senses, Maharaj Prithu was as strong as a wind, which can go anywhere and everywhere. As far as his intolerance was concerned, he was just like the all-powerful Rudra, expansion of Lord Shiva or Sadashiv.
Next verse. Kandarpaiva saundarye manasvi mrigaradiva vatsalye manu vandrinam prabhutve bhagavanajaha.
In his bodily beauty, he was just like Cupid. In his thoughtfulness, he was like a lion. In his affection, he was just like Swayambhu Manu. And in his ability to control, he was like Lord Brahma.
So it's beautiful like Cupid and fearless like a lion. Manasvi Mrigaradiva. Vatsalye Manuvan Rinam. Affectionate like Manu. And powerful like Brahma. The ability to control he was like Brahma. Next verse. Brihaspatir Brahma Vade Atma Vatve Swayam Harihi. Bhaktya Guru Vipreshu Vishvatsenanu Vartishu.
In his personal behavior, Prithu Maharaj exhibited all good qualities. And in his spiritual knowledge, he was exactly like Brihaspati. In self-control, he was like the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. As far as his devotional service was concerned, he was a great follower of devotees who were attached to cow production and the rendering of service of all service to the spiritual master and the brahmanas. He was perfect in his shyness and in his gentle behavior. And when he engaged in some philanthropic activity, he worked as if he were working for his own personal self.
So in his spiritual knowledge, he was like Brihaspati. So Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. So Prabhupada says that although a devotee, devotee is very faithful to the brahmanas, and although a devotee is constantly engaged in loving devotional service, but when there is a requirement to defeat the opposing philosophies, devotee is ready to defeat the opposing philosophies also. So Prithu Maharaj, as a Vaishnava, we should learn that a Vaishnava should not only be fixed in the service of the Lord. That means one should not only be faithful in the service of the Lord, but must be prepared to argue with the impersonalist Mayavadis with all logic and philosophy and defeat their contention that the absolute truth is impersonal. So one should be faithful as well as thoughtful. Being fixed in the service of the Lord, it requires having the quality of being faithful. And being able to defeat all the opposing arguments, it requires the quality of being thoughtful. So both these qualities were possessed by the Lord, faithful and thoughtful. And in his sense control, he was like Lord Hari or Krishna himself. So in the Rajasya sacrifice, Krishna was declared as the highest brahmachari, the chief brahmachari by Bhishmadev himself. Bhishmadev himself is known for he practiced brahmacharya in the most difficult circumstances, living in the kingdom, being surrounded by opulences, all the women, he was still practiced brahmacharya there. But that Bhishmadev, he gave certificate to Krishna. He declared in the Rajasya sacrifice, Krishna is the having great sense control. He is the ideal brahmachari. So therefore, this shows Krishna's sense control being certified by Bhishmadev himself. And Prithu Maharaj is compared with Krishna. In his sense control, he is like Krishna himself. And then, Vishvaksena Bhaktya Go Guru Vipreshu Vishvaksenanu Vartishu. That means he is a follower of the Brahmanas who are attached to the cow protection and rendering all services spiritual master and the Brahmanas. So, the first quality, Brihaspatir Brahma Vade, that means in his spiritual knowledge, he was like Brihaspati. So, usually, scholarship and submission go ill together. When somebody knows a lot of knowledge, one tends to become proud and one fails to be submissive towards the other people. And somebody who is submissive, we feel sometimes we tend to think, oh, this person doesn't know, he may not be know much, therefore he is submissive. But here we see Prithu Maharaj was like Brihaspati. At the same time, he was submissive to the Brahmanas. Scholarship and submission. And then, Kriya Prashraya Shilabhyam. That means, when he would be doing philanthropic activities, he would do philanthropic activities out of genuine concern, as if he is doing to himself. So, Prabhupada writes a beautiful point here. Says that, when he would be doing philanthropic activities, he would do as if he were tending to his own personal necessities. In other words, he did not do philanthropic activities just as a matter of show. So many times we'll see that many philanthropic people, the altruists in Kali Yuga, most many people are atheists by nature. Or many people, they do altruistic philanthropic activity just for name and fame, actually. They are also known as like that. But here Prithu Maharaj, he was not doing for the sake of show, but were performed out of personal feeling and commitment. So all philanthropic activities should be thus performed. There is a genuine feeling towards the people. So we see Prabhupada writes that Prithu Maharaj was an ideal brahmachari and a grahastha simultaneously. So ideal grahastha, he procreated children for the sake of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, ideal brahmachari, because even as a householder, he was completely sense-controlled simultaneously. Our Vrishna Chakotaku says that in his devotion to the cows, elders, brahmanas, and devotees, and in helping others with bashfulness, humility, and cheerfulness, he was like Prithu. In the other qualities, he was compared with others. In regards to tolerance, he is compared with the earth. In regards to determination, compared with Mount Meru, like that. But in these qualities, he is compared with himself. That means, there is nobody actually equal to him. There is devotion to the cows. Atma Tulya Parodhyame. Atma Tulya means, he was like himself only. There is no comparison. So, in the last verse of this chapter, we'll go through some verses of the next chapter also. Kirtyodva Gita Yapumbis Trailoke Tatra Tatraha Pravishta Karna Randreshu Srinam Ramasatamiva.
Throughout the whole universe, in the higher, lower and middle planetary systems, Prithu Maharaj's reputation was loudly declared, and all ladies and saintly persons heard his glories, which were as sweet as the glories of Lord Ramchandra.
So his glories became spread like the glories of Lord Ram. This is a practice amongst the ladies to hear and enjoy the praises of certain heroes. From this it appears that Prithu Maharaj's reputation was so great that ladies all over the universe would hear of it with great pleasure. So Prabhupada explains that Prithu Maharaj's glories were as pleasing as that of Lord Ram's glories. So nowadays people want Ram Rajya but without Ram. Although they have banished the idea of God consciousness, they still expect to establish the kingdom of Ram. Such a proposal rejected by the devotees. So next chapter is the last in the series of Prithu Maharaj. This one, Prithu Maharaj is going back home, back to garden. Maitreya Uvacha Drishtvatmanam Pravayasan Yekada Vainya Atmavan Atmana Vardita Shesha
Swanu
Sarga Prajapatihi Jagatastastushtas Chapi Vrittido Dharma Vritsatam Nishpaditeshwaradesho Yadartam Yiha Jagnivan Atmajesh Atmajamnyasya Virakadrudatimiva Prajasuvimanashyeka Sadarogata Pavanam.
At the last stage of his life, when Maharaj Prithu saw himself getting old, that great soul who was king of the world divided whatever opulence he had accumulated among all kind of living entities, moving and non-moving. He arranged pensions for everyone according to religious principles, and after executing the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in complete coordination with him, he dedicated his sons unto the earth, which was considered to be his daughter. Then Maharaj Prithu left the presence of his citizens, who were almost lamenting and crying from feeling separation from the king, and went to the forest alone with his wife to perform austerities.
So here we see how Prithu Maharaj retired from the kingdom. So when he saw that he was getting old, he decided to retire. So Prabhupada writes in his Upanishad, the miseries of this world They indirectly act as a reminders to the conditioned soul that this world is not a fit place for staying. And the intelligent people take note of these reminders and then immediately they try to prepare for their next life. Miseries of this world, in the sense of old age, disease, and death, they act as a reminders. This world is not a comfortable place. Intelligent people take note of these reminders. But those who are not intelligent, even though they see these reminders, but they don't actually try to prepare for their next life. But Prithu Maharaj, when he saw that drishtvatmanam pravayasam, drishtva means after seeing that how his body is getting old, so then he immediately decided to retire. But before retiring, what did he do? He divided the wealth. He arranged for the pensions of all the living entities. And then he executed the orders of the Supreme Lord. And then he dedicated the kingdom to his sons, the five sons. And he gave the different parts of his kingdom, earth, to the different sons. The earth was considered to be his daughter. He had such affection towards the earth. And then after that, Prithu Maharaj left the presence of his citizens and who were almost lamenting. So all the citizens were actually lamenting to lose such a great king out of separation from him. And he went to the forest alone with his wife while the citizens grieved. So Prithu Maharaj was thinking, his thoughts were, the Lord will not bring me to his side for service. Because I have not performed much devotional service to Krishna and I am not completely purified. So therefore, I need to take to the Vanaprastha ashram, I need to go to the forest and perform intense devotional service over there. Like my ancestor Dhruva Maharaj, how he performed austerities and devotional service in the forest. So then the Lord will take me to his abode quickly. So in this way, Prithu Maharaj, out of his humility, he was thinking that I have not performed intense devotional service, so therefore I need to purify myself, therefore I need to go to forest to perform devotional service. And also, he took to the Vanaprastha ashram in order to make Vanaprastha ashram famous among the people. Because usually, retirement, Vanaprastha ashram is not famous. So people say that, oh, Niskan, we talk about the problems in the Brahmacharya ashram, Grahastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram. There is never a discussion about the Vanaprastha ashram because it doesn't exist only. Like that. So in that sense, so the retirement, people talk about retirement plans, but it is mainly in terms of actually the material comforts, they mainly talk about retirement plan in terms of how much to, where to deposit, where to get this thing, etc. But the real retirement plan means how to increase our devotional service, how to increase our sadhana, how to increase our service, this thing. So how to perform more austerities, how to reduce the necessities of this one. So we find that kind of this one is like not many people follow that. So therefore he wanted to make Vanaprastha ashram famous among the people. That's why the word used is that. It comes the next verse. We see Prithu Maharaj, he was actually not only exemplary in his administration, but he was also exemplary in his retirement also. In his retirement also. So therefore, he set both the examples. Exemplary in his retirement. In the Vanaprastha ashram, a person is allowed to take a wife along with him. Of course, only in the Sannyasa ashram, there is no connection with the wife. And Prithu Maharaj, at a timely moment, he prepared himself to go back home, back to God. So retiring at a timely moment, that is actually important. So Pandavas retired timely. When a person retires untimely, it is considered an escapism. or it is considered as irresponsible. When a person does not retire even though the right time has come, then that is considered as possessiveness or attachment to the wealth or a position. Therefore, when we become irrelevant at the wrong time, it is irresponsibility. And when we don't become irrelevant, that means irrelevant means when we don't retire, when we don't become irrelevant at the right time, then that means that you are attached to that particular position or the post. So by becoming irrelevant at the right time, you bring relevance to the people. By retiring at the right time, you actually, you become more relevant to the people. So therefore, one is supposed to be responsible in the grihastha ashram, and then when the right time comes, and a person is supposed to hand over to the next generation and retire. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj followed that example of retirement, which is also a very important this thing. So previously, there would be forests called as Tapovan, where people would go only to perform austerities during the Vanaprastha ashram. Like even when we went to Haridwar, there has a, our accommodation is called as Vanaprastha ashram. The principle was there, in the sense, especially people would go towards the northern direction whenever in their last stage of life. So northern direction, the Himalayan region is called as Tapobhumi. But now they have converted into Bhogabhumi. Few years back when I went to Haridwar, when I just got down from the station, there was a DJ, big billboard was there. DJ in Haridwar. So actually, all those places are supposed to be Tapobhumi, but it is converted into Bhogabhumi. It's like going to the hospital for a nightclub dance. Converting a hospital into a nightclub, just imagine the hospital is there, all the patients are there, but then there's a nightclub dances also going on in one floor. So that is like, so they are converting the Tapobhumi into Bhogabhumi. So previously there was Tapovan, where people would go to perform the austerities during the, after retirement. And also Prabhupada says that, indeed it was compulsory for everyone to go to Tapovan to fully accept the shelter of the Supreme Lord. For it is very difficult to retire from family life and at the same time remain at home. It's practically difficult in the sense that, of course, we will discuss how we have to apply this principle in the Kali Yuga. Prabhupada also mentions that. But this point also, staying at the home, at the same time being detached, it is practically, it is difficult in the sense that, that atmosphere, the comforts of the home, at the same time, this thing, it is actually difficult. That's why I was talking to one devotee. I was suggesting that you have to actually increase your rounds, because 16 rounds is something bare minimum. But once a person actually has retired, he has gone beyond 60 and his responsibilities are over, one has to increase actually beyond the 16 rounds. There is no option. One has to increase the service. But I was suggesting, but he said, but I find it very difficult to chant beyond 16. I suggested, you'll have to, maybe you can go to maybe this particular temple, Juhu temple, it is close by, or you can go to this particular place. Because when you leave at home, because that homely atmosphere, it will not allow you to actually do more sadhana. Because one generally becomes conditioned by that. So that's why it is sometimes difficult to live at home at the same time retire from the family life. So of course in Kali Yuga it is not possible to go to the forest, but Prabhupada gives an alternative that one can visit the temples of ISKCON and take up, if possible, stay in the temples or take up services there or increase the preaching engagements. In that way one should have, the principle of Vanaprastha ashram is that basically increase the direct spiritual activities. Increase the direct spiritual activities and reduce the other responsibilities. So that principle has to be followed, although the external form may not be followed, we may not be able to follow in the Kali Yuga. Next verse. Tatraapyadabhya niyamo vaikanasasu sammate arabdha ugra tapasi yatasva vijaye pura.
After retiring from family life, Maharaj Prithu strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. He engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone.
So he performed the austerities in the Vanaprastha ashram with the same enthusiasm as he was performing the kingly duties. So when he was a king, he was in the forefront giving orders and doing many things, getting things done. So there could have been an element of name and fame from other people. So that can give some enthusiasm for the person to do those things, kingly activity. But in the Vanaprastha ashram, he is all alone in the forest. There is nobody actually seeing or what kind of austerity is performing and they are advertising him or something like that. He's all alone. But he was performing those austerities with the same enthusiasm as he was performing those kingly duties which were in the forefront. That means he was not actually interested to the, he was not attached to the activity, he was attached to Krishna. He was attached to Krishna, not that external activity because some activities may attract attention of people, some activities may not attract attention of people. So, Prabhupada explains that the whole purpose of the Vedic system is to enable one to ultimately return home back to Godhead. Grihastha ashram is like a concession combining sense gratification with a regulated life. So, Grihastha ashram is like a detour or a bypass road. Detour, we say, that detour means, you understand that you have to, there's a straight road, but then sometimes you have to take a detour. Instead of going through the city, you take a detour and then go past the city and then come out of the city. Or take a detour and then come there. So in that sense, yeah, but most people will have to take to Grihastha ashram, but the point is, this understanding has to be there. If this understanding is not there, that is why one has to enter with the exit plan. If a person takes the detour and then instead of coming and joining back the original road, on the detour he goes in some other direction only. If he doesn't, it's not conscious that, oh, this is just a detour and I have to join back to the original road, then one may actually go in the different direction only. So therefore, this understanding is enabled one to easily retire in the middle of life and engage fully in austerities in order to transcend the material sense gratification once and for all. So we see Maharaj Prithu was an ideal character in every sphere of life, not just as a grahastha or a kshatriya, but even as a vanaprastha while living his life. So there are many beautiful, Prabhupada mentions many points regards to, like in regards to Vanaprastha retirement. So it is like Buddhism talks about Shunyavad. Shunyavad means what? Destroying one's identity. So in the Vaishnavism, we also have to use the Buddhist philosophy in our practice as a tool, but not as a goal. What does it mean? That means that we accept a particular identity for a particular service. But at a certain time, we have to come out of that identity. We have to destroy that identity. In that sense, we practice Buddhism, Shunyava. But when a person practices Buddhism as a goal, destroying one's identity as a goal, then that is actually Mayava. But in the Vaishnavism, when we, like Prithu Maharaj accepted the role as a Kshatriya, as a king, he accepted that identity, but at a certain time, he destroyed that identity. He actually retired. In that sense, he practiced Buddhism. In the sense, he destroyed that identity. So Buddhism can be accepted as a tool, and not as a goal. So when we in that sense, we have to become irrelevant at the right time. So even the incarnations also become irrelevant at some particular point of time. Even the incarnations of the Lord, they become like, okay, Varahadev, Narsingadev, Varahadev, so many avatars appeared. Yeah, we definitely speak about them. But still which incarnation is most relevant? The recent incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then more is Krishna and then Ram, like that. So even the incarnations of the Lord also become, the nature of the material world is that even they also become irrelevant at that right time. They become irrelevant at some time. So similarly, so everyone, all of us, whatever roles we have taken up, all of us will become irrelevant at a particular point of time. So when we understand that, when we become irrelevant, when we desire to retire at the right time, by that retirement, we bring relevance to the people. Otherwise, even though the right time had come, if we continue to stick to that particular position, then that attachment to that position will actually cause us an obstacle for our further progress. So that is why, in that sense, Varnashram it can be a helpful tool. That means we accept a particular identity according to our nature and engage that identity in the service of Krishna. At the same time, we also have to do away with that identity at a particular time. So in that sense, Varnashram is like a bridge. The bridge is required to cross, at the same time, cross the ocean. At the same time, if a person becomes attached to that bridge, if a person becomes attached to that identity, then it becomes an obstacle for going further ahead. So Prithu Maharaj exemplified this thing. So next verse describes the austerities which he performed. Kandamula falahara shushka parnashana kvachit abhaksha katichit prakshan vayu bhakshatta taparam.
In Tapovan, Maharaj Prithu sometimes ate the trunks and roots of trees, and sometimes he ate fruit and dried leaves, and for some weeks he drank only water. Finally, he lived simply by breathing air.
So these were the austerities like Dhruva Maharaj performed. So there were no cooked food. He did not eat any cooked food sent from the city by some devotees or some disciples. So he practiced severe austerity, especially regards to eating. In other words, overeating is not at all recommended for one who wants to progress in spiritual life. Atyahara prayasascha. So atyahara prayasascha, Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, he mentions few points. I will just mention those points in regards to atyahara. In regards to Atyahara, he says that one is overeating. Another is that even when a person does not overeat, but if he accepts the sense objects in the spirit of enjoyment, then also it is called as Atyahara. Even if he doesn't overeat, but if he accepts in the spirit of enjoyment, then also it is called as Atyahara. So therefore, one has to accept the sense objects as the Lord's mercy, and only as far as required and which are favorable for devotional service, then it is not Atyahara. And Atyahara, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Atyahara is not just with respect to actually eatables. It is also with respect to the other sense objects also. Other sense objects for the different senses. So the same principle applies with the other sense objects with the different senses. One has to accept whatever is favorable, accepting not in the spirit of enjoyment, and accept as Lord's mercy only as far as required, which are favorable for devotional service. And he also says that these principles of Atyahara, they apply differently to the grihasthas and they apply differently to the sannyasis. So for example, he says that if a householder collects more than his requirement, then it is an impediment in his devotional service. So he is allowed to store, but when he is allowed to, when he stores more than required, then it is an impediment. A renunciant will not collect at all. If he is not satisfied by the alms he obtains every day, then he is guilty of atyahar. The sense that the same principle is applied in different ways to different. So, and then Prabhupada explains that, but in this current Kali Yuga, there is no need to go to the forest, because it's practically not possible. And so therefore, one should live in the temple. Instead of going to the forest, one can live in the temple of Krishna, which is as good as Vaikuntha. And then Prabhupada is comparing Rupa Goswami versus Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj went to Tapovan to perform austerities. Rupa Goswami, they went to Vrindavan and they lived under each different tree at every night. And they performed bhajan there. So we can neither follow Prithu Maharaj nor Rupa Goswami. So therefore, we should follow in the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who lived in the temple and ate only prasadam offered to the deities. So in that way, he's mentioning the how it is, how we can follow in the current this thing. So we'll take up this last verse and then in the end. Grishme panchatapaviro varshap asarashan munihi akanta magna shishire udakes sandileshayah.
Following the principles of forest living and the footsteps of the great sages and munis, Prithu Maharaj accepted five kinds of heating processes during the summer season, exposed himself to torrents of rains in the rainy season, and in the winter stood in water up to his neck. He also used to simply lie down on the floor to sleep.
So these were the other austerities which he had performed. It's like one may wonder, like, what is the need of, anyway, we can't practice this austerities, like, one may think like that. One class, Radhanath Maharaj explained, sometimes we may become actually proud of our austerities, and we may think that, oh, I am performing nirjal, oh, this person, oh, he is eating so much or something. So when we compare with others, then we may become proud. So he said, if you want to compare, we should compare our austerities, or for that matter, other abilities, with the personalities in the scriptures. So here, Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they considered even breathing as a sense gratification. Or here, he performed austerities by exposing himself to the torrents of rain in the rainy season. Or he expected five kinds of heating processes during the summer season, and stood in the water up to his neck during the winter season. He used to simply lie down on the floor to sleep. Therefore, these extreme examples are given in the scriptures in order to actually, in order to make us humble. That if we want to, we have the tendency to compare. That comparison tendency should be applied in regards to these great personalities, not regards to maybe other people who are living with us. So then it actually brings about humility. So we'll take up from the next verse tomorrow. We'll complete this chapter, and if possible, we'll go to the next chapter. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.